You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahalan wa sahalan wa marhaban bikum. Well, 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 it's 8 minutes after 8 South African time. I want to welcome all of the local, national and international listeners listening to the Q&A on this beautiful Monday evening between 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah, who is with us this evening. Let's welcome him as well. Let's welcome our engineers, that is Brother Lokolo and Brother Abdul. Remember, 084-786-3132, 086-3132. The 25th of Jumad al-Ula, 1441, which is also the 21st of January, 2020. Our Zakat Nisab, 5,144 rand. Mehre Fatimi, 12,860 rand. Minimum mahr for Hanafis is 258 rand. Malikis is 86 rand. Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum mahr. To the international overseas countries, +27847863132. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussein@gmail.com. That is akhussein@gmail.com. The other email address is mufti@telcomsa.net. That is mufti@telcomsa.net. Our WhatsApp number of our beloved Ustad is muftiakhussein.net. That is muftiakhussein.net. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad on this beautiful Monday night between now to 10 o'clock. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our engineers, Brother Abdullah and Brother Yusuf Asmal, and our brother here, to Lokolo. Thank you very much.
Jazakumullah khairan, Ustad. Let's begin, inshallah, with the questions, Ustad. Somebody says, assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti Sahab. We want to know, is it permissible to go to non-Muslim weddings, Ustad? Just to attend the weddings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe your neighbor or business associate is a non-Muslim and they invite you as a Muslim for their son, daughter's nikah or wedding. We don't say nikah for them, for the wedding. So can you go? No, obviously you cannot go. Look at the reasons. There will be intermingling, the dress code, obviously, half nudity, the music will be there, the food, the wine and dine and swine will be continuing there. So from A to Z, everything there is haram and unlawful. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has informed us in Surah 5, verse number 2, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate in sin and transgression, hence definitely not permissible for a Muslim, male or female, to attend any non-Muslim's wedding and marriage or whatever else it is, not permissible.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that what is the ruling regarding breastfeeding one's nephew, Ustad?
Remember that sometimes you know that you are two sisters, and now the one sister gave birth and now she wants to breastfeed the other sister's son, meaning her nephew. What will be the benefit of that? She has daughters, the other sister's son has sons and so forth. So they want to leave that they can interact with one another and so forth, become foster brother, foster sister. So yes, that would be permissible. However, there's a proviso involved, and that is that nephew must be less than 2 years old. So then you breastfeed him. And you should also remember and take cognizance of the following, which means that you become the foster mother, and that baby, the boy or girl you breastfeed, will become your foster child. Surah 4, verse 23. Now, what is the minimum amount you have to breastfeed? According to the Malikis and the Hanafis, that you give 2, 3, 4, 5 drops also, and the baby is less than 2 lunar years old, then fine. You become the foster mother, and the child will become the foster child. However, according to the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis, they say 5 times you have to breastfeed that baby, and then only will you be called the murdi'ah, the foster mother, and will the child be called the foster child. So take cognizance of that. Hanafis, Malikis, 1, 2 drops, 5, 6 drops also will suffice, and you'll be the foster mother. And in the case of Shafi'is, Hanbalis, 5 times you have to breastfeed that child.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustaz, can we have a function in a church?
Again, remember that you are now going to support people who are non-Muslim. They're going to tell you that Jesus is the Son of God and what have you, Allah forbid. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثًا. Indeed, those people have committed blasphemy and kufr who say that they believe in the Trinity, God and the Holy Father and Holy Son and Holy Ghost and Holy Trinity, you know. So all these type of things are satanic as far as Islam goes. Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid wa Lam Yulad wa Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad. Remember all chapter number 112 of the Noble Quran. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is one and alone. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is totally independent. He's not the father of anyone. He's not the child of anyone. He does not have partners nor siblings. Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There's none equal to Almighty Allah in any aspect, in any respect. Therefore, to have any type of function for Muslims in a church, in a temple, in a synagogue, all that would not be permissible. And remember, it's a disgrace. Why must we go to such avenues and such venues where we are enriching the non-Muslims?
I like this question, Ustad. Somebody says here that, Mufti Saab, auntie and niece are not talking. They met in Madinatul Munawwara in the masjid, but did not make salam to one another. Ustad, what's that?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses these type of issues, and remember that this is very, very serious. If you know Urdu, Ghar ko aag lag gayi ghar ki chiraagh se. Today we have become our enemies. We do not need external enemies. Now see the situation. People went for Umrah. They are 2 sisters. They are auntie, niece. They are daughter-in-law, mother-in-law. Whatever it is, whether it's male or female, son-in-law, father-in-law, 2 brothers, uncle and nephew. They met up right there in Masjid Nabawi, right next to the Rauza Mubarak and so forth. Because you're inside the masjid, and now the auntie turns her face away, or the niece turns her face away, or the sister turns her face away. So let us see what the Quran Kareem teaches us. Let us see what Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informs us. In Surah number 47, Surah Muhammad, the Surah named after the Master alayhi salatu salam, chapter 47, verses 22-23, in tawallaytum, when you have authority, you are rich, you are a person of power and influence, and tufsidu fil ard, you cause mischief, mayhem, and under this earth, wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, and you sever the family ties. 2 sisters, auntie, niece, brothers, uncle, nephew, whatever. So, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Almighty Allah curses them. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ. Almighty Allah makes them spiritually deaf. وَأَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. And spiritually blind. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Tirmidhi in Mishkat Sharif. 2 people are not talking. You go for Umrah, you go for Hajj, you go Madinah Munawwara, you read Quran, you read Salat. Nothing is accepted in the court of Almighty Allah. That Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah jalla wala instructs the malaika that keep their actions one side. hatta yastaliha talleri consile. You don't have to become the best friends. You have to make salam. You're right by Rahmatulil Alameen alayhi salatu salam in his masjid. Who is causing taklif and harm to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This ummah, the zaireen and zairat, those who are visiting the master alayhi salatu salam in the masjid of the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh auntie, oh niece, oh brother, sister, I don't know you, but I beg you, I appeal to you that go and make salam to one another. Don't say I'm right and she's wrong and he's wrong. Ana khairum min, that is the slogan of shaitan, I'm better than you. If you want your actions to be accepted, if you don't want your actions to be accepted, then remember this hadith applies. قال النبي المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث فمن هجر فوق ثلاث فمات دخل النار. It's not halal, permissible for a Muslim person to sever ties for more than 3 days. And if you sever ties for more than 3 days and you die, you enter Jahannam and Allah dispatches you to Jahannam. Think, my mother, my sister, make peace and make salam to one another, forgive one another. When you learn to forgive, Allah will elevate you.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. 0847863132, that is our WhatsApp number. Ustaz, somebody says here, Mufti Saab, husband gave 3 talaqs. Some people say it is 1 divorce. But I mean, Allah knows what's in my heart. Allah could see my intention, Ustaz.
Remember that our function is to explain to you the Sharia. نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ مُتَوَلِّ السَّرَائِرِ. Remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us that we say that we pass the law on what is superficial and not what is in people's hearts. That only Almighty Allah knows. You utter 3 talaqs. The hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. 3 talaqs are 3. So remember, we are not taking out from our pocket. The Sahaba from time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, till today there is ijma and consensus on this issue. So remember the hadith in Tirmidhi, La tajtami ummati ala dalala. The ummah will not agree on something that is incorrect. And all 4 schools, Shafi'is, Hanbalis, Malikis, Hanafis say 3 is 3. We say 1, 2, 3 is 3. Not like the Christians who say 1 is 3 and 3 is 1. I tell you, my brother, sister, you're going to listen to these some Salafis and whoever else who are leading you astray, and some organizations also, they say 3 is 1. We reject them and told them also that your fatwa is not worth the paper on which is written of 3 is equal to 1. In a case like that, remember, I'm telling you, you are living in sin, and Allah Ta'ala's curse will be upon you. So you look at the consequences, don't look for loopholes.
Subhanallah. Someone says, Ustad, how must we register our marriage?
Yes, it's very, very important. One is the nikah we perform in the masjid and so forth. And then, because of South Africa, our marriages are still not recognized by government 25, 26 years into democracy. So when you register your marriage, now that is your civil marriage, then you will register it. That is anti-nuptial contract, ANC, nothing to do with a political party. So anti-nuptial contract, excluding, without the accrual system. Now why should you do so? Because when you draw up your Islamic will, then everything will be acceptable and nobody really can contest it and so forth. So therefore it's wajib and compulsory to do so in our South African context. Those of you living in America, you UK, Muslim, Arab countries, even there 90% of the countries don't have Islamic law. So remember, you have to ensure that you draw up a will which is according to the Islamic Sharia and show it to the ulama and show it to your lawyers, advocates, attorneys, and in that way see that it is not against the law of the land that somebody goes and contests it and then you have huge problems. So that is very, very important as well.
When will Jumad al-Ukhra begin, Ustad?
We are, mashallah, tomorrow is the 25th of Jumad al-Ula, 1441. So this week, Saturday evening, when Maghrib Adhan goes, we read and perform the Maghrib Salat. Thereafter, scan the sky. Yea, in Johannesburg surrounding, that the crescent is 19 and a half hours almost old, and in Cape Town, it will be 20 hours or so. So the chances are still there, and maybe somebody will see it somewhere. Maybe near Kimberley, there they normally see it, you know. So anyway, that in Uppington and those areas. So may Almighty Allah make it easy. Then that will be Saturday night, the 1st of Jumad al-Ukhra, Sunday the 1st, provided that the crescent and the moon is sighted. And then it means, O Ummah, 3 months left for the month of Ramadan. So we should be thinking about it from now. What is the meaning of Ramadan? To burn and incinerate the sins. From now, start burning the sins. Allah give us tawfiq.
24 minutes after 8, I see all the listeners are sending messages, says that we got cut off, they can't hear. So I don't know if we are on air or not. These are all the messages coming in. Somebody says just got cut off. Somebody says, Molana, I can't hear y'all. I think our engineer is just trying to... this one says, Molana, we can't hear y'all in Durban at all. This one says, also got cut off just now. So anyway, we're going to see what our engineer, inshallah, is going to do, Ustad. Remember, 084-786-3132. Somebody says, Ustad, please comment on smoking. Ustad.
If the listeners got cut off in Durban, please contact the Durban studios and the officers there, and inshallah, they might be able to tell you what's going on. I don't know if you can listen to me and so forth, but anyway, by us, everything, the sound is fine, and people are saying that they can hear us. Just repeat the question, please, Mullah.
Ustad, I want you to comment on smoking, Ustad.
Remember that smoking, ask yourself, from the time you are smoking till now, 20, 30, 40 years, Quran Kareem teaches us, chapter 17, verse 27, Innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. People who squander their wealth, they become the brothers of shaitan. Second authentic hadith, Imam Malik have mentioned in his Muatta, La dharara wa la dirar. Remember, in Islam, it's not permissible to cause harm to yourself, nor is it permissible to cause harm to others. So therefore, we will say that in Islam, smoking, buying, selling, smoking, all that not permissible. And today you can see in the airlines also that they don't allow it, and they'll tell you that. But the funny part and the irony is they don't allow smoking and they allow alcohol, which is worse because the money is big there. So in Islam, alcohol haram and smoking not permissible.
Somebody says, Ustad, that we are tuning and listening to you on Markaz Sahaba. It says no program on Ansar, but of course it is a program on Markaz Sahaba. Ustad, medical aid for pets, is it permissible in Islam, Ustad?
Remember, medical aid for people, human beings and all that is permissible. Various reasons, because of our conditions, we know the mess there is in the government hospitals and so forth. But that rationale does not apply to animals and so forth and pets and all that. So therefore, we will rule that regarding pets and that is not permissible. You don't have to keep that pet. Give it to the SPCA. If they don't want it, give it to somebody else. So remember, people want to keep pets, and then we look for loopholes. That's incorrect, so not permissible.
Somebody says, Ustad, that could you please explain to us what is mughalladha, talaqul mughalladha, Ustad?
Remember that when a person gives one or two talaq, and where he just mentions the word talaq in any language, divorce, English, Khaskai, Afrikaans, Raja, Meman, and so forth. So that is raj'i. That is, you take your wife back during the iddat after one talaq or two talaq, revocable divorce. If the husband gave his wife a talaq, a buy-in, so that is, he told his wife he is giving her talaq, a buy-in, so that is irrevocable. If they want to reconcile after one or two, so talaq, so that a buy-in, then a new nikah must be performed, whether during the nikah, whether during the iddat or after the expiry of the iddat. And remember that if he gave her three talaq, that is whether over a period of time, 20, 10, 2015, 2020. So that is talaq al-mughallas, meaning now his curtains finished, the marriage is finished. Oh, he gave her three talaqs, three majlis in wahidin at one time. So then also remember, it will be considered as three. And remember, that is the verdict of all four schools. So that is mughallas, a serious, serious situation. And now you're haram for one another. You cannot remarry, you cannot reconcile immediately.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Ma from Newcastle and all the listeners says, Malana, we live. We back with you guys, listening to you. And of course, Mufti Sahab, we will never ever want to miss the Q&A. This is Ma from Newcastle, and she says, Mufti Sahab, please make dua for marhum Hafiz Ahmad Dokrat's mommy. She's not taking it too well after her son passed away. Ustad, Ma from Newcastle.
Ma Allah Jalla Wala give you complete shifa. Allah increase your hirs, that is your great desire for knowledge. You don't want to miss one question. Allah, you know, people get books to learn knowledge. Somebody one time, the husband and wife were speaking on Arafat. So the husband asked the wife, oh darling, sweetheart, that which book you like the most? So the wife said, I like the checkbook the most. So you must remember that, you must remember. Okay, this person, serious matters. Brother Ashraf Dokrat is my student, and I taught him in Newcastle. Allah Jalla Wala grant him sabr. Allah Ta'ala grant his wife, the mother of Hafiz Ahmad Dokrat, Sabri Jameel Bain. I hope you're listening to me. Remember, Quran Kareem teaches us, when the calamity strikes, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, that those who exercise patience, Allah Jalla Wala is telling you, أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَ musiba, that when a calamity strikes them, then they say, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Our beloved son, he's a hafiz, 29-30 years old, and he passes away as a shaheed in an accident. So look at the positive. Tomorrow Almighty Allah will raise him among the shuhada. Lawnuhu lawnud dam, the blood will be gushing, oozing out. Wa rihuhu rihul misk, but the fragrance emanating will be that of musk. Then my mother, my sister, brother Ashraf Dokrat's wife, that Almighty Allah states, don't complain. Yes, to cry is natural. Allah. To be sad is natural. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried when his beloved son Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed away, 18 months old. Wa inna bi firaqika la mahzunun ya Ibrahim. Oh, my beloved son Ibrahim, with your separation, I'm so sad, and we are so sad. So you must be sad, but remember that never complain. And Almighty Allah has mentioned in Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 156-157, Ulaika alayhim salawatun min Rabbim wa rahma wa ulaika al-muhtadun. Those are the people Almighty Allah Jalla wa Allah grants them special blessings, special mercy envelopes them. Those are the people who are guided on the right path. We make dua for Hafiz Ahmad. We make dua for you, Brother Ashraf, and your wife, Allah, Umme Ahmed, inshallah, Allah Jalla Wala give your son the Jannatul Firdaus and grant you, the family, the parents, Sabre Jameel, and to all who are going through this difficulty, remember, say, as what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, As-sabru in the sadmatil ula. The first time, as soon as the calamity strikes, remember, after 3 years, 5 years, then we get patience. But when the calamity strikes, then to restrain ourselves and to control ourselves. And if you complain, my sister, you complain, my brother, don't complain to humanity, complain to Allah, like Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam did. Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. Ya Allah, my handsome Yusuf is gone. Ya Allah, who do I complain to? Only you, over my sadness and grief. He complained to Allah, he became blind. After some time, Almighty Allah restored his eyesight, and Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam and his beloved father were reunited. All this in Ahsan al-Qasas, in the best of surahs and the best of lessons for us to learn. Surah Yusuf, wonderful lessons.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. We love you, Ustaz, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us go, inshallah, inshallah, for an ad break. When we come back, inshallah, after the ad break, we will continue with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
20 minutes to 9. You are tuning and listening to the Q&A. 084-786-3132. International overseas countries. Plus 2-784-786-3132. Let's welcome to all our local, national and international listeners on this beautiful Monday night. Somebody says, Ya Ustad, what does Islam say about 40 days after birth? Like not coming out of the house, etc. For the ladies, Ustad.
When our mother, daughter, sister gives birth, remember that there is no minimum period for the nifas, the postnatal. Regarding the maximum period for the postnatal is 40 days. That is the verdict of the Hanbali and Hanafi jurors and scholars. Regarding the Shafi'is and Malikis, they say the maximum period for nifas and postnatal is 60 days. However, to say that they can't come out of the house, they can't see the sky, and the sky must not see them, all that is just an Indian custom, and they brought it in the Lal Kitab from India, the Red Book. There's no basis in Islam. A lady in Islam must stay in a home as far as possible, whether she is in nifas or whether she is not married, so that a woman's place is at home in Islam. But if the need arises, you have to go to the gynecologist, to the hospital, doctor, and so forth. So obviously, then you go, or the baby needs to go to the doctor, and so forth. So you go, there's no problem with that. But remember that once you are 100% sure that you are clean, then you take your first ghusl, your compulsory bath, and thereafter you resume your salat and your prayer. But all the days that you missed due to your postnatal, your nifas, so that is forgiven, and there is no qadha for that salat there. So these are the factors that you should take into cognizance, and you, the sisters, make a note. If it is your first baby, your first child, so this was my nifas, 30 days, 38 days, 40 days, and then second, third, then you will know what is your habit. So many a time our young mothers are oblivious and they forget all these issues.
Ustad, I would like to know, once a person passes away, from the time of death to time of the burial, Ustad, how quick should the person be buried and the reason, Ustad?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the reason that we should make ta'ajil, we should make haste, and we should not be procrastinating, delaying this uncle and this auntie and this person is coming. That is against the Sharia. Second one is this, why? If the person is a good person, then take him to a better place. Remember, better than our home and houses are the barzakh for him, that he goes to Illiyin, the ruh goes there, the soul goes there. From there they can see their place in Jannah and paradise. And if the person is a person who died without Iman, Allah forbid, in Islam, he died a munafiq, hypocrite, just lip service to Islam, then get rid of him quickly. Why keep him in your house? And remember that that person's ruh soul will go to Sijin, in the dungeons and prisons, where he will see his place in Jahannam, Allah forbid. What you need to do, O Ummah, if you know Arabic, there's an excellent book written by the student of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah, Kitab al-Ruh, which I have in Arabic, excellent. And somebody translated it, a very, very brief translation, The Journey of the Soul. So you can read that and you will find interesting things there. And remember that we should ensure, and now those of us are alive, you must tell our families that do not delay. Another evil thing that has come into South Africa and other parts of the world, especially these foreigners, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Arabs, they pass away here and then they want to delay, send the body back to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Cairo, yeah. This is all a haram and not permissible. First thing I tell you, and you can go and verify it, imagine the person passes away, we just say South Africa. Now we want to send the body to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. They put that, they do that process of theirs, that embalming, and they use alcohol in that. Imagine you meeting Almighty Allah and your body is filled with alcohol. Can you imagine that? We are crying to Allah, Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 101. Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bisalihin. Oh, beloved Allah, let me die with Iman and Islam and unite me with the pious and devout servants of Allah Jalla wa'ala. We cry and we beg and beseech Allah, hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Allahumma jal khayra ayyamina yawma nalqaka fi. Ya Allah, make that the best day in our life, the day we come to meet you. And this person goes and his body is filled with alcohol. So imagine the delay, the expenditure from A to Z, everything haram. So we must abstain and refrain from such practices.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Brother Robert Ustad, he says that I like listening to you guys Monday night, the Q&A. I would like to know from you, especially to you, Ustad, if Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance, then why does it allow killing those who leave Islam? He's got here on a bracket, apostates. This is Brother Robert Ustad from Durban.
Very good question, my brother Robert. I wonder, maybe you belong to the Robert Construction Group, because I see their adverts everywhere, you know. So anyway, Brother Robert, thank you very much for your question. See, three questions you ask. Is Islam a religion of peace? Islam means peace, my brother. Remember, why will millions of people embrace Islam? You are an intelligent person, Brother Robert. You should go to the BBC documentary. They got nothing to do with Islam. They are in the heart of Europe, in the heart of Britain, in London, UK. And they have a documentary. You look at it and see the fall of the cross and the rise of the crescent. So meaning Islam is on the rise and the decline of the cross. People have left Christianity, the churches are empty, and the mosque, we call it masjid, masajid, are full. And so many more churches and historic churches are being sold, and the Muslims are buying, and Islam is flourishing everywhere. So why will people flock to Islam if Islam is not a religion of peace? More so when they were Christian and belonged to other faiths. You think about that. Remember that Islam always wants peace, but peace must be based on justice. The problem today, my brother Robert, is the Israeli apartheid regime will tell you they want peace, but they steal and occupy our land, they demolish our holy sites and our mosque and so forth, but they speak of peace, but that peace is not P-E-A-C-E, it's P-I-E-C-E, to steal and grab land of Muslims and the Palestinians. Same thing you see in Iraq. The Americans are there stealing the oil and so forth. We want peace, but peace based on justice, not on double standards and hypocrisy. And that is what we are seeing. Yes, Islam is very tolerant, my brother. How tolerant? When the Muslim enters and we are victorious, we extend the hand of friendship to the people and say, become our brother and sister in Islam. They accept, well and good. They do not accept, but they want to stay there, fine, stay. But you pay us tax and so forth. We will protect your life, your property, your honor, everything protected. War breaks out, our army will defend you, and you don't have to fight at all. Imagine how tolerant Islam is. Third one, you ask about apostasy. I ask you one question, my brother Robert, and that is, that when a person today commits treason, so many countries, remember, they will say that the death penalty executed person must be executed. In Islam, when a person was born a Muslim, when a person embraced Islam, Allah gave him the best, and then he left that. So the authentic hadith in Bukhari Sharif, that is the most authentic compilation of the sayings of the Messenger of Islam, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man baddala deenahu faqtulu, that a person who denounces Islam, then he must be excommunicated, meaning liquidated. And remember, the death penalty will apply in that case. Otherwise, that cancer will flow everywhere. We don't want that cancer to flow. When people commit adultery, Islam says death penalty. We want a pure and a chaste society. We don't want something like South Africa, where there is AIDS and the pandemic is growing and give everybody a condom? Nay, Islam solves the problem from the roots and not from the fruits.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Brother Robert says, thank you very much. Now it makes all sense. Brother Robert, Ustad.
You're welcome, my brother Robert. And if you wake up early, my brother Moana Arafat, Junaid, and then brother Junaid Khan, the year from 2:30, 3:30, I'm an old man, so I come for 10 past 4. So we are awake that time, and you can ask your questions that time also, brother Robert, at 10 past 4, quarter past 4, and otherwise you continue listening to us and get your wife and children involved and let them listen till 10 o'clock. Whatever you have, my brother Robert, no problem. You pose your questions, inshallah, we will answer it with the help and mercy of Allah without fear and favor.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. My only son, who's 24 years, left home to live with a married woman with 3 children, Ustad. I took care of him as a single parent. Gave him everything, Ustad. I'm so broken and devastated. Please advise me. What should I do, Ustad?
All of you, my sons, yesterday I was almost crying because a sister phoned me and we spoke. And she told me, you do not know what is happening in the schools. Our young daughters, 16 years old, are losing their virginity. I'm not speaking of non-Muslims, I'm speaking of Muslims. I'm not speaking of non-Muslim boys, I'm speaking of Muslims. And the parents think, marupoiru, marupoiri, bohari che. Yet our children are in schools, high school, university, and it's become the order of the day. So remember to you, my children, remember I have one message for you, the parents, and one message for you, the children. For you, the parents, my message is Surah 66, verse 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahalikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and the children from the fire. Remember that today, the sea syndrome, we gave them clothes, we gave them cash, we gave them cell phone, we gave them CDs, we gave them computers, we gave them cars, all the seas we gave them. The greatest sea we did not give them is character. That character which teaches them who is a mother, who is a father. Think about that, you, O mother, father. You, my son, you, my daughter. You think that life is just what you see in your movies and in your novels, and that's what you try. So let us experiment. The girls also, the boys also. And then you tell your mother, father, go fly a kite. You tell them, go to hell, go to old age home, and Allah forbid. What then, what messages I get? So you must remember, I'm warning you, see what the master, alayhi salam, was, is, will always be, the only rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the entire universe, the entire creation. Kullu dhanbin in sha'afa anhu wa in sha'adhabahu. Every sin a person perpetrates, Allah's prerogative, either Allah forgives that person or punishes that person. Illa uquq al-walidain. But when you are rebellious, disobedient against your parents, fa inna Allah yu'ajjilu uquubatahu li sahibihi fil hayati qabla mawtihi. Allah will punish you, yea, in this world before death overtakes you. What are you doing with your life? You are so nadan, you immature, although you think you're mature. You lost your virginity at the age of 15, 16, 17. You have scarred your life forever, remember that. But Allah Ta'ala still tells us, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never lose hope and never become despondent in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Allah will forgive your sins. O son, go back to your mother. Go and kiss her hand. Ask her for forgiveness. Wife will come and go. Mother is one only. So therefore, take the du'as of your mother. Otherwise, it's curtains for you. Your life will be finished, remember. You yourself will realize what the terrible mistake you made in life.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. 7 minutes to nine. I see Brother Adrian says you'd like to have the podcast of that question of Brother Robert. Ustad, Brother Adrian.
Yes, we have Brother Adrian's number. Inshallah, Moana Arafat will send you the podcast, my Brother Adrian. And yes, all of you, irrespective of which faith you belong to, this is your platform. Remember that what the enemies of Islam and Muslims are doing on the mass media, they distort the message of Islam. We are the most sober people on this earth. We don't have wine, we don't have swine. We are the most peaceful people on this earth, but peace based on justice. Remember that. That's all we ask. We ask for no favors from anybody. We ask from Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala straight.
Sorry to ask you, but you said earlier on, Ustad, this is from Robert, that you said you are old. May I ask, how old are you, Robert?
Yes, brother, Dad, this year, 2020, I'm 63 years old, according to Gregorian calendar. And you know, in 3 months' time will be our fasting month. Then I will be Islamically 65 years old. So therefore, we have to start preparing for the year after, my brother Robert. We have to stand in the divine court. So there, we have to answer for our prayer, for all the questions. So Almighty Allah have mercy on all of us.
Ameen, ameen. Ustad, is stem cell therapy allowed in Islam for therapy purposes, Ustad?
It's not permissible. Remember that when you study the secular world advocates and promotes that you must leave religion, build and promote and advocate a godless society. So what will stem cell do? As time progresses, you will not even know who's your brother, who's your sister. And when the time comes for nikah and marriage, you might just be marrying your brother and sister and committing incest. Islam is very, very particular and meticulous. Chapter 25, verse 54. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. He, Almighty Allah, created this masterpiece human being from semen and sperm. فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهِرًا. Almighty Allah gave us a lineage. I am the son of Ismail and Halima. Mawlana Arafat is the son of Ibrahim Hatia. So we have our father, the mother, that is a lineage. And when you study the stem cell therapy, you don't look at now, you look at the consequences in time to come, and you will see that how animals, they don't have a pedigree, all mix up dier makar, as we say in Afrikaans. That is what it will lead to, and Islam will never allow that.
Ustad, somebody says, my husband always say I make bad luck when I read namaz and read Quran. Ustad,
remember, if he said these type of things, I don't know. You see, these type of questions, they're all one-sided and loaded questions. If your husband is cursing you because you are reading Salat, you are reading Quran and praying, he's out of the fold of Islam. You must remember such people who curse you because you read Salat and so forth. So such people, there's no place for them in Islam. But you have to go to your local ulama, go to your local jamiats and whoever you got confidence in, and remember that people who perform Salat, they are bringing the mercy of Allah. People who are reading Quran, they attract the mercy of Allah. Wasta'inu bisabri was salat. Seek divine assistance through patience and through prayer and salat. And this person is saying that you are bringing bad luck, you're a curse and so forth. But as I say, it is one side of the question. We don't know the other side.
Who said, I needed advice on making sajda on a pillow as I have serious acid reflux. Would this be permissible as my head does not touch the ground, Ustad?
Remember that this is also another Indian story in the Lal Kitab, the Red Kitab. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam address Imran bin Hussein, father and son, both Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they are the beloved students, companions of the master, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salli qa'iman, stand and read. Fa illam tastati, if you cannot stand and perform your prayer, fa salli qa'idan, then sit and read. You are old, you are sickly, so sit and read. So now when you sit on the floor, you find you can't manage sit on the chair. Now when you sit on the chair, there's no need for you to put a table or a chair in front of you or a pillow in front, nothing like that. What you have to do for all of those who sit and perform Salat, just when you are sitting, you continue your reading. When you bow down, you go into ruku, you bend 3-4 inches. And then when you go into sajda, then you bend down 5-6 inches. What do we learn? That the prostration and prostrating thing that is the sajda, there we must bend more compared to the ruku, the bowing down. So that's all that's required. You don't need pillow, you don't need table, you don't need anything of that sort.
Somebody says, Ustaz, can a woman in haid reply to the adhan? I heard that there are two opinions. One is she should not, and the other is she can. And the second question, Ustaz, is who was Hala, Ustaz?
So you must remember that, yeah, we have two different questions. There is no two opinions on that issue. The hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim and is authentic hadith and saying of the Master alayhi salam, إِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. Remember that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the muadhin, the person who calls towards prayer, you hear it in Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town, in the mic, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So now you are in your menses at home or in your shop or wherever, so you reply to that, is totally permissible. There's no problem like that. So how when a person sneezes, he says Alhamdulillah, you say Yarhamukallah, is fine. And thereafter, when the adhan is finished, the Master alayhi salam commanded us, Thumma swallu alayya, then read Salawat Durood Sharif upon me. So that is what you should do. Totally permissible, no two opinions. Who is Hala? Remember Sayyida Khadija, the honorable wife of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umm al-Mu'mineen, the wife of the Master alayhi salatu salam for 25 years. Her sister is Hala, Hala binti Khuwaylid, and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of her as well. So when you study Islam, this is a neglected science and discipline. It's called Asma'u Rijal wa Nisa. Therefore, with the Nasiha, yesterday we reach 1,500, all with the mercy of Almighty Allah. Allahumma laka shukru kullu wa laka alhamdu kullu. I thank my brother and colleague Maulana Ahmad Dokrat Hafidhullah. It was his initiative, his incentive, and there we concentrated on Asma'u Rijal wa Nisa. Who are the beloved students and companions of the Master alayhi salatu salam, so that we come to know. And yesterday, that is today actually, the first one, and we started with Umar bin Abdul Aziz, and for tomorrow we sent it out, and tomorrow will be Hazrat Hassan Basri rahimahullah. So we started the Tabi'een. So we must remember that these are the people who made the great contribution to Islam.
9 o'clock, we go for the news. Thereafter, inshallah, we will return with the Q&A. Stay tuned.